Turn with me, Psalm 92. Psalm 92. We'll be back here this evening. I'm falling in love with this psalm. And in fact, we've been in it for a while now. And the Lord let me preach down in Chipley on last Wednesday night. Guess where I preach from? Psalm 92. And the Lord let me preach this morning over there at Brother Jimbo Seaton's meeting in Burnsville. And didn't know I was preaching, got called right out of the gate. And guess what I preach? Psalm 92. And it's been growing in my heart. And it seemed like as we preached it here and in these other places, the Lord is using it to be a help to the people of God. And I trust the Lord to help us tonight. Two verses out of this psalm tonight and that I'll read, and then we'll get right into it. Verse number one, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. And we've made our way already down to verse number 9. Let me read verse number 10 to you tonight. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Amen. Not oil. Amen. Oil. Amen. You say, what's the difference? Amen. Well, if you don't know, then you don't know. Amen. If you know, you know. The young folk would say, if you know, you know. All right. Be seated. Heavenly Father, please help us tonight. Lord, take, Lord, the truth and the thoughts. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd help your people tonight. Challenge us, change us, comfort us, exhort us. And Lord, I pray we'd be better. Lord, better off. Lord, made better. Lord, is having come to the house of God and learned something from the Word of God tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me teach you some things tonight. We've come to this psalm, Psalm 92, believing it to be a psalm penned by that of David. And in fact, the more I study this psalm, I think I know the setting and the time frame, and I may share some of that with you tonight, that this psalm was likely penned then. You remember I've told you thus far, as I've studied this psalm, I hadn't quite pinned it down yet, kind of left uncertain other than the fact that in this psalm, David has some enemies. There are some enemies that are raging against the Lord, and there are some foes that have set themselves against David. And so David, in the background of this psalm, as he pens it and writes it, Brother Larry, there's a battle that rages in the background. And we don't necessarily or haven't necessarily found a timeline when it took place. But it's a psalm as we considered. It's a psalm that in the heading of the psalm said it was for the Sabbath day. It was for the day of corporate worship, a day when the children of Israel would come together and would sing unto the Lord and bless the Lord and worship the Lord. In this psalm, in the opening line of this psalm, we believe we immediately identify the theme of this psalm that David has upon his heart. He said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so we're settled in upon the phrase, it is a good thing to give thanks. And we looked at the word good and its meaning in that it deals with something well-pleasing, something fruitful, something morally correct, simply meaning that it is right to give thanks unto the Lord. And if God would do anything for you and I, amen, the least that we could do, the best thing that we could do, the right thing that we should do, is to reciprocate that with a thanksgiving to the Lord. And the word good carries the idea of good in the sense it is the better of two alternatives. My friend, the alternatives that are laid out, obviously the first is what he's dealing with, is that we should be thankful. The alternative to that would to be unthankful. And to be thankful is the better of the two alternatives. And we see that clearly throughout this psalm as David will lay the contrast between the righteous and those who know God and God's works and God's thoughts in their life, how that they are to be a thankful people, but the wicked And those that are brutish and fools do not understand this. And so we're dealing with this psalm with the thought, the goodness of gratefulness. The goodness of gratefulness. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so we looked in verses 1 through 5 where we see the appreciation. As David here, he looks around, he stirs others in the thought, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And then immediately he says about himself that he is going to sing songs to the name of the Most High. And so there is within this a personal appreciation in David's heart. We looked at the timing of our appreciation, that it's to be morning and every night. Amen. In verse 2 again, the themes of our appreciation. That my friend, we give God thanks, if for nothing else, His loving kindness and His faithfulness. And those are themes that will never run dry. Amen. Those are things that God has bestowed upon us that will never run out. They will never fade. They will never be absent, no matter what is going on around us. Amen. Maybe we can't thank God for maybe tangible blessings that we can hold. Amen. But God is always extending loving kindness and His faithfulness to our life. We looked at the thrust of our appreciation in the 10-stringed instrument of verse 3, and how that it is likened in a picture to that of our lives being lived in harmony with God, and not just saying I'm thankful, amen, but showing through the way I live that I'm thankful. We sing in verse 4 the triumph of our appreciation. And as we are thankful, David said, I am made glad and I am caused to triumph, amen, in what God is doing for me. Amen. Victory lies and shouting lies within a thankful heart. In the appreciation, we looked at the thoughts of our appreciation. And the Lord let me settle in upon that this morning over there in the meeting. Amen. Where David said, O Lord, verse 5, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. How that God is working in our life, but every work of God is an indication that God has been thinking upon us. Amen. God doesn't just accidentally do things in our life. Oh no, friend, every work that God has ever extended to your life, everything that God has done, every prayer God has answered, every bill that God has paid, every healing that you have received, it is an indication that you were on the mind of God, that God cared for you, and that God was interested and invested in your life by way of God thinking upon us. And so there is the appreciation we looked at on last week, the abomination that is found in this text. Again, in verse number 6, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And so the unthankful, that is the brutish man and the fool, that they do not understand that God is thinking about mankind and God is doing things in mankind's life. The brutish man, as a beast, thinks he is responsible for his own advancement and success in life. And the abomination is simply this. He lives his life with no regard for God. He doesn't acknowledge God's hand of blessing and God's goodness upon his life. And so in that disregard is an abomination, that God goes unthanked in the life of the fool and the brutish. And we elaborated on that, and we tried not to depress you too awful bad. Amen. About the abomination. I don't want to be guilty of that abomination. Amen. I want to be that crowd that knows something about giving appreciation to the Lord for that He has done. I refuse to be a brutish man. I refuse to be a fool tonight. Amen. I'm glad that the wisdom of God shone to where I was one day. Amen. And showed me it's only by God's grace and God's goodness, amen, that I'm even able to get out of the bed in the morning, much less be saved and in my right mind. And so God is to be thanked. And, amen, the goodness of appreciation in this psalm we see of the appreciation and the abomination. And I won't run through all the points there under the second point. Let me get us quickly into the third point and closing point we find in verses 10 down through verse number 15. In these verses, you'll find that David is going to begin to use some future, what we'll call future tense words, that show that David's trust, show his trust in anticipating that the Lord is going to do some very specific things for him in time and days to come. David maybe doesn't see these things right now in his life, but is aware of what God has promised. He is aware that yes, God is working now in some ways, but God's work is not done. The battle is still here. The foe is still within my reach. And yet David, with some anticipation, begins, I believe, to show gratitude for the things not only that God has done and that God is doing, but amen, the goodness of gratefulness extends to understanding that there are some things God has yet to do and will further do in our lives. Amen. I'm glad my God is not confined to the past, and I'm glad my God is not confined just to today. Amen. But my God is already in my tomorrow. Amen. He's already, my friend, in my next week. He's already, amen, there in the day and in the time to come when I'm going to need him the most. And David is aware of this in his heart. David's thankfulness, I believe, went into the realm of things that the Lord would do for him in days and time to come. And I want to look at some of these, and I'll only look at one of them tonight. Amen. If you want, I'll go ahead and give you all three, and then I'll back up my deal with verse number 10. Amen. The second one you'll find is in verse number 11, where I see the anticipation of answered prayer. Amen. And I can't wait to preach on that next week. Amen. David is anticipating some prayers and desires, and he has expressed to God. David said, amen, I may not see it now, but mine eyes shall see, and mine ears shall hear. Amen. In anticipation, David is thanking God for the anticipation of answered prayer. Amen. Maybe I ought to preach right there for a minute tonight. Amen. Number three, you'll find in verses 12 through the closing of the psalm, and there's the anticipation of advancing progress. Amen. David uses some words down through there like flourishing. Amen. And being made fat. Amen. David is speaking of that. Amen. God is going to advance him in days to come. And God did not bring him this far to turn him around. And God did not bring him this far that David would die where he is in this current conflict. That God is going to move in his situation in time to come. And that in it all, there would be an advancing progress, amen, in David's life. There are times we feel like we're at a standstill. Amen. There's times we feel like we're between a rock and a hard place, and we don't know what to do, and we don't know how we're going to go on any further. Amen. But David said, it's even in that time I will anticipate that my God is not done with me, that God will move me again. Amen. And boy, we're going to have a time there in two Wednesday nights if God will help us. Amen. Look with me in verse number 10, the anticipation here that we see in David in verse number 10. I would draw your attention to this verse again, but my heart shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I call this the anticipation of anointing power. The anticipation of anointing power. And I want to look at that tonight, if the Lord will help us, is David here is, I believe, anticipating God's renewed touch and approval upon his life. Again, David is facing some foes. That is what he said in verse number 11. Mine eyes shall see my desire on mine enemies. And so David is in a conflict. And David needs a touch from God. Hey man, no doubt the enemy has accused David of somehow being out of line, that maybe David is too tired and David is too weary and David is too weak to be able to fight too many more days. And maybe even David in his own mind is wondering, hey man, Lord, if you don't touch me, there's not a chance I'll live to tell about it. Hey man, but all of a sudden, David anticipates, hey man, I've known the power and the touch of God in days gone by, and God will anoint me with his power, hey man, in days and in time to come, just when I need it, and just when I feel like I can't go on, hey man, the Lord shall anoint my horn and exalt my horn and give me power through the anointing. And notice with me this power that we'll see tonight. Amen, is contained in the words, my horn shalt thou exalt at. And you'll see here in a moment that, amen, all of this is connected with, amen, David being anointed again with fresh oil. Amen, and so let me give it to you quickly tonight. Amen, in this anointing power that David is anticipating, and no doubt is thanking God for in advance. Amen. Notice with me the exaltation of the anointing power. Amen. Notice how this verse begins. But my horn shalt thou exalt. Amen. He's just, if you'll remember last week, in the verses prior, he has dealt with the wicked. He has talked about the brutish man and the fool and how they, my friend, in their arrogance and disregard for God, they not only are unthankful, but they have made themselves the very enemies of God and of God's people. Amen. They seem to be succeeding. They seem to be getting by with their sin and their ungratefulness. Amen. David said God is going to cut them down in days to come. Amen. God is going to move against them. And so those that seem to be strong, David said, are going to be brought down very low. Amen. But those that in this conflict, the children of God, had seemed to be very low, David said, and through the anointing power of God are going to be raised up. Amen. And I'm glad tonight, amen, when we're weak, amen, it's then we are made strong. Amen. In our low days, that's when, amen, God in his grace exalts you and I. Amen. Not because of anything we deserve, but, amen, because of his good grace. Amen. The exaltation of the anointing power. Amen. Where do you see that, preacher? Notice with me. Amen. A term that we do not use in our modern day vernacular. David said, but my horn. Amen. You say, preacher, did David have a horn? Amen. Yeah, David had a horn. Amen. I pastored nearly 20 years and met some folk who had two of them. Somebody say amen. Amen. And David had a horn. Amen. But my horn, David said, shalt thou exalt. And so David had a horn, preacher. Did he have a trumpet? Did he have, amen, a horn protruding out of his head? David is using a term here that, that is, pictorial, if you will, when he said, my horn. What he is speaking of is the figure of this term horn. It's a figurative way to describe one's power, one's strength, or one's honor in this life. And David is saying, God is going to exalt my horn. Amen. He's going to take my life and the power and the strength and the honor of it, and he's going to take me beyond myself. Amen. My horn. And so, amen, I'll come back to that in a moment. He said, my horn shalt thou exalt. And so his horn is going to be exalted by the Lord. The word exalt means exactly what you would think. It means to be high or lifted up. Amen. It means to promote. David said, amen, when I need God the most, when it seems like, amen, that the enemy is about to rob me of all my strength and all my power, all my dignity and my honor, amen, I can count on God's anointing power, amen, to reach down upon my life and, amen, promote me, amen, by his grace one more time. Amen. He is the one, David said, is going to lift me up. He is the one that's going to see to it. And I experience higher ground. Amen. Oh, I'm glad that God's anointing power, amen, can lift you and I up. And when our hands hang low, amen, and our knees are feeble in the joints, and buddy, we feel like we've done all we can do in the battles that we fight. Amen, I'm glad my God shall exalt my horn. Amen, I like this when you study the term. Amen, shall be exalted. Amen, shall thou exalt. The word exalt gives the description of something that is growing. Amen, Brother Tim, I thought about this when I saw that and plugged it into the truth that God was opening up to my heart. Amen. You know what God's anointing power does? Amen. It grows you in your walk with God. Amen. David said, I may be in a battle and I may be facing some dark, dark days. Amen. But it is God's anointing power that is growing me. In the battle I'm growing. In the valley I'm growing on the hard days. Amen. God is growing me for his good name. Amen. You can't grow yourself. Amen. If you're going to grow spiritually tonight, amen, I believe it'll only come by God's anointing power. Amen. You can't, physically. Amen. You can't add one cubit to your stature. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Amen. You can't make yourself grow physically. Amen. And you cannot make yourself grow spiritually. Amen. All the best that you and I can do is stay faithful to God and stay in the fight and thank God for all the things he's doing and anticipate that God's anointing power, amen, will be working in our life behind the scene. And that when all is said and done, our horn, our life, our testimony, our walk with God will somehow on the other side be grown in the battle. Amen. Hannah worshiped God in prayer for doing this very thing in her life. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we're introduced to, amen, a man by the name of Elkanah. And Elkanah, I believe, not being in the will of God, had taken unto himself two wives. Amen. One of his wives' names was Peniah. And Peniah, and then his other wife was named Hannah. And Peniah had children, the Bible said, and Hannah had none. And they became adversaries, as it were. Amen. Hannah, being grieved in her soul, and Peniah would vex her sore because, amen, Elkanah had given her babies, and God had shut up the womb of Hannah. But you remember in chapter number 1, amen, in the midst of that conflict and that adversity,
Hannah fell under a burden and began to pray to the Lord. And in praying in the Spirit, even Eli the priest, the man of God, accused her of being drunken in the house of God. She said, I ain't drunk, I'm talking to God. I'm pouring out my soul unto the Lord. I can't help how I'm acting. I have a burden that is greater than I can bear. I have some things that I need that only God can do for me. Eli said, after she told him what the need was, Eli said, at the time that is appointed, hey man, you're going to conceive and you shall have a man child from the Lord. And you know the story how that, hey man, the Lord did that for that dear saint of God. And that happened in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. She held her Samuel and she raised that young boy, hey man, by the space of several years. And my friend brought him back to the house of God to dedicate him and to give Samuel unto the Lord to minister in that place that God had heard her prayer. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse number 1, hey man, in that dedication, that time of worship, that day she was going to leave her answered prayer there with the Lord. Yet, in the house of God, the Bible said, and Hannah prayed, and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. And listen now, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Amen. I believe what Hannah's saying is, amen, I had an enemy, I had an adversary that was against me, and she provoked me sore, I carried a burden, I couldn't do anything about it, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said through the man of God, and he would anoint my womb and give me power where there was no power. And I believe that Hannah went home rejoicing, amen, before it was ever even known and confirmed physically. Amen, I believe when she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. And when she said, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. That she is saying, I anticipated that the Lord was going to give anointing power and open my womb, and He did what He said He would do. And in that, she said, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Amen. God restored strength where there was not. And God gave birthing power where there was not. And where the enemy had all but stolen her honor and her dignity. Amen. God, in a split moment of time of conception, amen, exalted her horn, amen, with anointing power. Amen. And the barren wasn't barren anymore. Amen. And the one that was beat down wasn't beaten down anymore. Amen. Why? Because she said, amen, mine horn is exalted in the Lord. Amen. Can I say the way to be exalted in this life, amen, to have your life exalted, must come by God's anointing power. Amen. If you exalt yourself, you will fall in days to come. Amen. Amen. If you exalt yourself, you shall surely fall. Amen. But if God exalts you, praise God, you can, amen, be exalted. The exaltation of the anointing power. Well, I got to hurry or I ain't going to get done with this first point under the third point. Amen. Amen. The exaltation of the anointing power. Number two, in this verse, I noted the illustration of this anointing power. Amen. He said, but my horn shall the Lord exalt. Amen. But my horn shalt thou exalt. And then notice what he said, like the horn of an unicorn. Let me say a few things about that and I'll make a point and I'll move on and close. Amen. David here gives an illustration of what this anointing power was going to look like. When God exalted the horn of David, he said, It will be like the horn, the string, the power, amen, of the unicorn. Amen. Now the unicorn is spoken of in the Word of God 9 times in your King James Bible. Amen. And I read after one guy in a book today. Amen. And he said, well, that word unicorn, that really ain't supposed to be unicorn. It's supposed to be wild ox. Amen. But, amen. He's crippled too high for crutches. Somebody say amen. Amen. And, amen. When we think about a unicorn, I think we need to, amen, understand this is not to be counted as the mythological flying pony that people think of today when you read unicorn. Amen. It ain't a pony with wings and a big curly, amen, thing that goes up. Amen. You've read too many comic books and watched too many cartoons if you think, amen, that's what David is speaking about. Amen. You say, preacher, what then is the unicorn? The unicorn speaks of a near extinct hoofed ox-like animal, and is the illustration, as we said, that David is using here to his own life when God's anointing would be on God's people. Amen. He said, when God's anointing, fresh anointing falls on me, amen, my horn shall be exalted, amen, like the horn of an unicorn. And so this ox-like creature, amen, that, amen, was known in that day. David speaks about it. You'll find that Job spake about it. Job believed to be the oldest book in the Bible. Amen. This unicorn was in existence in that day. It was spoken of in the book of Numbers, Brother Jerry, when Moses was living and was alive. Again, in David's day, it's mentioned in the book of Isaiah. And so evidently it was still around on into the days of the prophets. And in my study, I believe that, amen, there's even a certain breed that likely is still alive today over in Europe, a very small population. And I'll deal with that in a moment. But what David is saying is that this matter of this unicorn, it is an illustration of a child of God who, my friend, has the anointing power of God upon them. And I want to say tonight, I want to be like this unicorn. I want God to anoint me with His power, amen, that my life might be a reflection like that, amen, of the unicorn. Amen. You say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Well, the unicorn in the Word of God, amen, you'll find that it deals with the unicorn strength. It is depicted in the Word of God as a very strong creature. In fact, when Moses in the book of Numbers 23, verse 22, and in Numbers 24 and in verse number 8, when he was speaking about God bringing Israel out of Egypt, Brother Jack, he spake of God doing that through what would be likened to the strength and the power of a unicorn. Amen, that God had strength. It's believed that in the Bible days that this particular breed of unicorn was likely the strongest creature that God had created that man had any dealings with. It was known for its great strength. And I say, child of God, we ought to desire and pray and anticipate God's anointing power. Amen, that we would be strong children of God. Amen, God, help us. I know in ourselves we are weak, but in His power we can be strong. Amen, I'm seeing in this day in my own life, sadly, many days. Amen, a weakness and a weariness, amen, upon the children of God. You say, what do we need? We need God's anointing power, amen, so we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. The unicorn strength. A lot we could say. I may come back and preach a whole message on the unicorn. But in Psalm, I like this one, Psalm 29 in verse number 6. You'll find that the Word of God speaks of the unicorn's agility. Amen. Them young unicorns that, amen, the Bible said they leap around it and they jump and they're real agile. Amen. Which speaks of the fact that, amen, not only do they have strength, but they've got a vitality, if you will, about them. And energy there. Amen. They're known, my friend, to be on the move. Amen. They're not lethargic animals. Amen. They ain't like, amen, our generation's tired all the time. They, amen, have a characteristic within them. And the Bible speaks of the unicorn's agility. Amen. This crowd always walking around, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. And my friend, that ain't the evidence of God's anointing power on our life. Amen. Y'all didn't like that. Amen. It's true. I know we get tired. I know that we get weary. And I've run kind of hard this week. I went back, shook hands with Brother Joe. And he asked, how is he doing? I said, I'm good, but I'm a dragging a little bit tonight. It's been a long week. He said, I know the feeling, and I know they do. Amen. I'm not just speaking on my friend, the physical tired, but amen, the answer to emotional tiredness and spiritual weariness, amen, is the anointing power of Almighty God. Amen. That's why the New Testament said, be not weary in well doing. Amen. We're not supposed to be weary emotionally. We're not supposed to get tired spiritually. Amen. Preacher, and I know we're dealing with a lot of things in this hair. Amen. But I'm glad I got an answer for you tonight. It's the anointing power of God. Amen. The agility and the strength of the unicorn. Amen. The ferocity of the unicorn is spoken of in Isaiah 34 and in verse number 7, where Isaiah, amen, speaks of the unicorn coming down out of the hills and the mountains. And when they do, they, my friend, run through the crowd and shed blood. Amen. Deuteronomy 33:17 and Psalm 22:21. Amen. Speak of the unicorn in their fierceness. My friend, when they go into battle, when they're in a fight, amen, they don't back down to nothing. Amen. They don't ever tuck tail and ride. They don't ever give up ground when they're dead. Amen. Whatever it is that's come against him, amen, is laying in a pool of blood and is dead. Amen. Almost like they're victorious. Amen. But Joe, they're a victorious creature. Amen. And so, amen, the unicorn, David said, the Lord shall exalt my horn like the horn of the unicorn, the illustration of the anointing power that, and with that anointing power, we experience the same strength and agility and ferocity as the unicorn. Job 39 and in verse number 9. Let me read this verse to you. I kind of like this when the Lord showed it to me. Job 39. And notice what Job said about this individual known as the unicorn. I gotta quit. I'm having too much fun preaching. Job 39 and in verse number 9. The Bible said, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? He's asking a question. And the question is this. The only way you're gonna get a unicorn to serve you and abide in your crib is it's got to be willing to do so. If it ain't willing, it don't matter what you say to it. It doesn't matter if you strike it. It doesn't matter if you goad it. The only way the unicorn is going to do anything by way of who it serves and what it serves it and where it lives and where it abides is that it is a creature that has power over its will. And I wrote it down this way, and you're going to think that it's a negative. It's actually a positive. Amen. What Job is saying is that unicorn's got a stubborn streak in it. Amen. And I know, Brother A.L., when we think about stubbornness, amen, a lot of times it's a negative thing and it should be a negative thing. Amen. But where's the Christian that's got the anointing power of God on him or her? It has a spiritual stubbornness, amen, that does not serve sin. Amen, that says, my friend, hey, amen, have the anointing power of God upon my life. Amen, and I will not yield. I will not go the way of the world. I will not give myself just to anything. Amen, and that our will would be exercised. Amen, in yielding ourselves to the yoke of the Master. Amen, but have a stubbornness whereby the world can't lead us astray. Amen. Does that make sense? An anointed, a child of God with the anointing power of God upon them, this is what an anointed Christian should be. Well, the devil made me do it. You know why? Amen. Number one, I doubt that. Amen. The reason people do what they do, they're willing to do it. Amen. And an anointed, David said, amen, when that anointing comes upon my life, amen, I'm going to be anointed like that unicorn. That unicorn, he'll only serve who he's willing to serve. He don't just put himself under the mastery of just anybody. Amen, he don't just live in anybody's crib. Amen, he don't yoke himself just to anything. Amen, he's got to be willing to do so. Amen, amen. That's good preaching right there. This is what an anointed Christian will be. I thought about this when you study these unicorns. I got to quit, I know, but I got an hour more work just under this verse number 10. These unicorns, you'll find that it's believed this particular breed of what they're talking about is extinct. But there are other breeds that they believe can be traced back to this, and even they are near extinct in this day. It's hard. What I'm saying is, but Tim, it's hard to find one. You have to go a long ways and travel a lot of miles and cross a lot of continents just to find one. And I say, sad to say, it's hard to find an anointed child of God anymore. So I come to church. I'm glad you did. That don't mean you're one of these. I read my Bible every day and pray. That don't mean you're one of these. Amen. David said, amen, when God's anointing power is on somebody's life, amen, there's an exaltation, but don't miss the illustration that God gives, amen, a power, an anointing power that is a rare thing, a hard to find thing. Amen. Would you be one? Would you desire to be one? Amen. You know what we need around here? We need some unicorns. Amen. They've got so rare in these days we're living in. Amen. Well, I got a third one. Can I give it to you? I'll not preach it all out, I don't think, Brother Gerald. The manifestation of the anointing power. The manifestation. We see the exaltation, the illustration, but notice how this verse ends. He said, I shall be... He didn't just say, I shall be anointed. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And if you study that out, you'll find David is saying new oil, a fresh anointing, a new anointing, a renewing of the anointing that I've received. Amen. And so David here is dealing with the manifestation, what we call the manifestation of this anointing, that David is indicating the need in his own life
for dependence on God's approval and God's appointment upon his life. I found it interesting. You know, David experienced three anointings. How many knew that? You knew it, you just hadn't put it all together. David experienced three anointings in his life. The first one, Brother Tim's, 1 Samuel 16. He's a young boy on the backside of the wilderness tending to his father's sheep. He's just an obedient son doing what the father told him to do. He's out there, no doubt, praying, singing to the Lord, watching over the sheep. He's where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to be doing. Jesse ain't got to worry if he's sneaking off. Amen. To party with girls. He ain't got to worry. Is he down there hanging around drinking beer with the boys? Amen. He ain't got to worry about where's my sheep. I hope my sheep's okay. David is an obedient son doing what is right and doing what his daddy told him to do. God sends the man of God, Samuel, with a horn of oil down to the house of Jesse, and he says, I'm going to anoint a new king to replace Saul in days to come. Eliab steps out when Samuel gets there, and Samuel looks at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Lord said, nope. Another one walks in, and Samuel said, well, that's got to be him then. Lord said, nope. I've not anointed this. I've not chosen this. I'm not putting my approval and my anointing on this. You remember what the Lord said? The Lord said, I don't see how man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And that ain't a justifying verse to do anything with your body you want to do. Amen. That is God saying, I see outside, but I see deeper than the outside. I see the inside. And when Samuel said, is this all your sons? And Jesse said, well, I got the youngest one out there, but he just a ruddy little feller. He ain't much to him. If you wasn't going to take Eliab, you sure ain't going to take this one. And Samuel said, we ain't sitting down. We're not eating. We ain't doing nothing till that young man walks in the door. As soon as David walked in the door, the Lord said, arise, Samuel, and anoint him. And David's first anointing came from God. And you know what it was? It was a private anointing. I'm out of time. I'm out of time and I'm out of voice and I'm out of strength. I've got to get this to you quick. It's a private anointing. God anointed him. God sanctioned him. God put fresh oil on a young man's life. And you study it, 1 Samuel 16:13. At the minute Samuel anointed David with oil, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That day forward, David had the touch of God upon his life. David is not immediately installed in that anointing as being king. He's going to be, but he doesn't receive what God has given to him just yet. God begins to put him in school, and God lets him fight some battles, and God lets him, my friend, be trained and is bringing him through school to be what he's going to be. Fast forward many, many years later, Saul is dead and Jonathan is dead, and David is weeping and he's mourning in 2 Samuel chapter 2, and he goes to the Lord. He said, Lord, what do I need to do? The Lord said, arise, go down to Judah. And David said, well, where should I go? He said, go to Hebron. He goes down to Hebron, and when he gets to Hebron, the men of Judah meet David as he's coming, and they take him right there, and they anoint him with oil. Amen. You see, the first anointing was a private anointing. The second anointing was a partial anointing. David was to be the king over all the children of Israel, but at that particular time, Israel, the northern side of the children of God, were apprehensive. In fact, Abner is going to be in rebellion against God and against David and try to put Ishbosheth in as the next king over the children of Israel.
And yet you find there is a certain group of men that acknowledges that David is God's anointed, that David has the private anointing of God upon his life. And now David receives a partial anointing whereby he is partially able to fulfill what God has called him to do. 7 years pass. This is where, Brother Tim, I believe Psalm 92 is written. Because David has some enemies. God has some enemies in rebellion, as Abner and Ishbosheth are in rebellion against God. And David talked about, Lord, your enemies, thine enemies. And now he speaks about mine enemies in verse 11. And God and David have the same enemies. But it's in this 7 year span of David fighting that David says, you know what? You know what? He shall anoint me with fresh oil. The enemy is trying to keep me what God gave me in private. The enemy is trying to let me just exercise a partial form of that. He said, but God ain't going to let the enemy keep me just exercising a partial anointing of God in my life. 7 years later, you find the prevailing anointing whereby Abner is slain, but Joab, Ishbosheth is brought down, and David meets with Israel, and Israel 7 years later anoints David. Amen. Say, what does all that mean, preacher? It means this: if you'll get anointed by God in private, if you'll spend time with God in private, if you'll spend, I need an amen. If you will, in the secret place, get the touch of God upon your life. You'll have some that are trying to work against that in your life. But in time to come, God will let that anointing power prevail, and you will stand in strength, in power, and in honor in your walk with God. But it's got to start in private. It's got to start in private. Girls, it's got to start in private. Amen. Everybody wants the limelight. Everybody wants to be seen as the one walking in the power of God. David said, I got it back there when I was a boy, when I was private, and what I got ain't ever left me. And there may be some fight against it, and there may only be a handful that acknowledges it along the way. But God will anoint me with fresh oil, prevailing oil, where I will stand victorious over all my adversaries. No wonder David said it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. He said, preacher, I don't have victory tonight. Yeah, but you can anticipate God's anointing power. If you've had it in private, you can anticipate that God will do great, great things in days to come. Amen.